This is Robert Balgach, and welcome to the Black Swan Secrets podcast. Our focus here is to help you grow as a producer and as a business owner in the life insurance industry. Enjoy the ride. Disclaimer: past performance is not indicative of future results. Strategies discussed in this podcast may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you.
I will play this wonderful video for you guys. Once again, this kind of goes back to, you know, once again, Coach K and I are always talking about how similar athletics and this are as far as winning is concerned. The preparation that it takes, the mindset that it takes to win in this game or to win at a high level in athletics, whether you're talking about swimming, baseball, basketball, soccer, decathlons, triathlons, whatever the case may be. To perform at a very high level, to be a champion, takes a certain mindset. And this is why, you know, we harp on it so much, because we understand, guys, and I want you to catch this, Hendry. I want you to catch this, you know, Alec. I want you to understand that the winning is going to be done right here. If you can win this battle between your ears, those little 6 inches, and watch this, guys, you don't have to run a 100-meter dash, right? You got to win these 6 inches. If you can dominate this area, if you can win this game, if you can learn to do what it takes to control this, the battle is won. Because it is going to then control what you believe. It's going to then control what you do. And because it controls what your belief system is, and it controls what your belief system controls what you do, that will in turn directly 100% affect your outcome. And when you guys really understand that, if I learn to master this, if I do the work, if I learn to master this little beautiful cerebrum of mine, right? If I learn to master that, controlling my emotions, you know, having the mindset of a champion, what a winner does, and I do those little things, winning can happen at a very high level for every last one of you, guaranteed. But that being said, I'm going to jump into this video, because this is coming from a guy who had an extremely tough mindset, okay? A lot of you know who he is. His name is Kobe Bean Bryant, played his entire career for the Los Angeles Lakers, in the NBA, and I'm just going to play a little clip with him going on about his perseverance and what he learned in his years in playing professional basketball. So let me get that pulled up for you, wonderful individuals. Turn your speakers up, because here we go.
What does losing feel like to you?
It's exciting, because it means you have different ways to get better. There's certain things that you can figure out that you can take advantage of, right? Certain weaknesses that were exposed that you need to shore up, right? So it was exciting. I mean, it sucks to lose, but at the same time, there are answers there. I mean, the answers are there when you win too. You just have to look at them, right? So it's a constant process. It's exciting when you win, it's exciting when you lose, because the process should be exactly the same, whether you win or you lose. As you go back and you look and you find things that you could have done better, find things that you've done well that worked, figure out how did they work, why did they work, how can you make them work again? But the hardest thing is to face that stuff. That's a really, really tough challenge. There's a quote from one of my English teachers. He had a great quote that said, rest at the end, not in the middle. And that's something I always live by. I'm not going to rest. I'm going to keep on pushing now. There are a lot of answers that I don't have, even questions that I don't have. But I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going, and I'll figure these things out as we go, right? And you just continue to build that way. So I try to live by that all the time.
Who was the greatest teacher for you in those early days?
It's funny, man. I had a lot of them. You know, my parents were great. You know, growing up, you know, they instilled in me the importance of imagination, of curiosity, and understanding that, okay, if you want to accomplish something, I'm not just going to sit here and say, yes, you can do whatever you want. Yes, you can, but you have to also put in the work to get there. Right, so they taught me that at a really early age, man. And when you grow up as a kid thinking that the world is your oyster. All things are possible if you put in the work to do it. You know, you grow up having that fundamental belief.
Yeah.
Right. My mom was there on a daily basis. My father was really influential at a really critical time where I had a summer where I played basketball when I was like 10 or 11 years old in a very prominent summer league in Philadelphia called the Sunny Hill League. Where my father played, my uncle played, and they were like all the time great. And here I come playing, and I don't score 1 point the entire summer, not one. I mean, and I had these big knee pads on because I was growing really fast. And I have socks all the way up here, and I had like the pie top
skinny,
feet,
yeah.
Like skinny as hell. And I scored not a free throw, not a nothing, not a lucky shot, not a breakaway layup, 0 points. And I remember crying about it, being upset about it. And my father just gave me a hug and said, "Listen, whether you score zero or score 60, I'm going to love you no matter what." Now that is the most important thing that you can say to a child. Because from there, I was like, okay. It gives me all the confidence in the world to fail. I have the security there. But to hell with that, I'm scoring 60. And from there, I just went to work. I stayed with it. I kept practicing. I think that's when the idea of understanding a long-term view became important, because I wasn't going to catch these kids in a week. I wasn't going to catch them in a year, right? So that's when I sat down and said, okay, this is going to take some thought. What do I want to work on first? All right, shooting. All right, let's knock this out. Let's focus on this. Half a year, 6 months, do nothing but shoot. All right, after that, all right, creating your own shot. And you focus. So I started creating a menu of things. Mm. When I came back the next summer, I was a little bit better. I got my jump shot from 15. I got my 3-point shot. Like, just open shots, not miss open shots, right? Yeah. Be able to shoot it with speed, because those kids are so much more athletic.
Yeah.
And then the next summer I came back, I was a little better. And the summer came back.
You
the
scored.
Next summer I was a little better. I scored.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't much.
Right.
But I scored.
And this is 12-13.
12-13. And then 14 came around, back half of 13-14 years old. And then I was just killing everyone. And it happened in 2 years. And I wasn't expecting it to happen in 2 years, but it did, because what I had to do was work on the basics and the fundamentals. But they relied on their athleticism and their natural ability. And because I stick to the fundamentals, it just caught up to them. And then my body, you know, my knees stopped hurting. I grew into my frame. I was good. And then about the end of my third, like right when I was turning 14, I became the best player in the state.
At 14?
At 14. But it's simple. Like, if you do the math on this, right? Like, if you're thinking about how often kids are playing, right? And I tell this to my daughter and my daughter's team as well that I coach. It's a simple thing of math. If you want to be a great player, if you play every single day, 2-3 hours, every single day, over the course of a year, how much better are you getting? Most kids will play maybe an hour and a half, 2 days a week. Not gonna get it done, right? So if you're obsessively training 2-3 hours every single day over a year, over 2 years,
you're accelerating.
You make quantum leaps, man. Just your kids can't see how hard you work. You go to the office, I come in the studio, they don't really see the effort, right? So how can we teach our children what it means to work hard? Well, you do it through training, right? So when I get up in the morning, my daughter goes with me.
4 a.m.?
4 a.m. My 15-year-old goes with me. She goes with me before school, and it becomes a daddy-daughter thing.
That's cool.
Through that process, she understands the value of hard work and things taking time. And the same thing with my 12-year-old. Right? She practices every day. Right? And so it's through those behaviors is where I find the motivation to do it.
Mm.
Katie Lou Samuelson is one of the best college basketball players in the country. She plays at UConn. She's going to be a senior.
Right now. Yeah.
And she's from Huntington Beach out here by us. And so she comes down and she works with some of my girls on the team, and she helps coach. And,
yeah.
And they just had a really tough season last year where they lost to Notre Dame in the final. And so I asked her, I said, "Have you watched the Notre Dame game?" She was like, "No." I said, "Well, why not?" I said, "I don't want to watch that." I said, "I know you don't, but you're going to play Notre Dame this year, yeah?" "Yeah." "What's the chances you see him again in the final?" I said, "Well, you'll probably see him again." I said, "Well, you can't show up and play them without knowing why you lost that one, right? So, you know, the mistakes that you've made in that game, you have to do the hard stuff and watch that game and study that game to not make those mistakes over and over again just because you weren't brave enough to face it." So she came down to the office. I brought her down to the office and we sat down. We watched that game together, right? And you gotta deal with
it. Face it.
Gotta deal with it. Face it, learn from it. That's exactly right. You're looking at it and say, "Oh, there's the mismatch. Oh, there's the gap." You know, and all those little things, and it sucks. But you don't want to have that feeling again, do you? Right? So you got to really study it, face it. And not to say you'll win the next time you face it, but at least you'll give yourself a better chance.
Yeah. And what was your routine and ritual like after every game? Would you watch almost every game over, or certain games?
All of them.
Every game you watch?
Every game. So it started with me when I was when Phil Jackson's his first year here with the Lakers. And I thought we were gonna watch what we call touches. So watch all your touches when you have the ball, all the decisions you make, good ones and bad. No, We're watching the start of the game to the end of the game, and not like the TV feed. We're watching the in-arena feed, the layup line, timeouts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, rewinding, stopping, fast forward, rewinding, slow motion, every little thing, every game of that season with the 82-year-old Yoda, who is as brutally honest as you can get. Oh, it taught me to look at detail. Right, look at things at their smallest. Right, look at body language. Look at the energy between players, our team and the other team. Right, look at the tactics. You know, look at the overall strategy, and then look at how tactically things are manifesting themselves. And because I watched so much film, then it gave me the ability to see game in real time as if I was watching film. Right, I can see pop, 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 pop. Because a lot of times the game starts moving really fast. But if you train yourself to watch hours and hours of film, the game's not moving that fast anymore. You can really recognize who's doing what and why. Then you can position guys in the right places in real time. I mean, it's an obsessiveness that comes along with it. You want things to be as perfect as they can be, understanding that nothing is ever perfect. But the challenge is try to get them as perfect as they can be. Mm-hmm. And what can you do? It's in your control. So control what you can.
Oh, nice tux.
Thank you.
Wow.
It started in middle school and high school because a lot of the kids that I was playing against were inner city kids. Yeah. And so they're looking at me as if, okay, this kid's soft, right? He's from the suburbs of Philadelphia. His father played in the NBA, played professionally.
He's got it easy.
Born on second, but you know, all this other stuff, right? And so it felt like they could try to be physical or try to intimidate me and do all this other stuff, which they couldn't, right? But now I'm saying, okay, well, you're trying to attack me. How am I going to attack you? How can I mentally figure out ways to break you down? How can I show you that, no, I have the edge, right? And so that's when it first started for me, is figuring out how to get the upper hand on an opponent that way. And one of the things I would do is, while everybody would be at the cafeteria work, you know, eating and doing all sorts of stuff, I'd just go back to the gym. And they'd see me leave, right? But now you're in a tough position, because you're like, okay, I want to be like, I'm following the kid to go work out, right. But I know he's working, he's up early, and he's doing all this other stuff. And so that was my way of showing them, yeah, I may be from the suburbs, but you're not going to outwork me. I mean, it started as a defense mechanism because, you know, they were the ones talking trash to me, and, you know, kid from Italy, blah, 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 and all sort of stuff. And I was like, okay, I got to defend myself here, right? And then it became, okay. I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. Mm-hmm. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person that then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever. And I think that's our challenge as people, is to figure out how our story can impact others and motivate them in a way to create their own greatness.
So I hope you guys got a lot out of that, right? Because you hear us talk about this all the time. And a couple of things I want you guys to make sure you take away, right? You know, we're always talking about recording yourself. Well, that's the equivalent of them watching the game tape. And I cannot overstress, right? It just can't be overstressed how vitally important it is if you want to become a master of your craft. Like, some of you guys are good, but guess what? Why wouldn't you want to be great? Why would you settle for good when great is just ahead? Right. And it's so much in your control. You have to do those little things. You have to be willing to say, look, I'm going to record these presentations so that I can see what I'm doing good, see what I'm doing bad. And if I did something good, I want to be able to see that so I can duplicate that particular act that way again when put into that same situation. But on the flip side of it, right, I also want to look at, when I didn't get a deal, or even if I did get a deal, what opportunities did I have in there that I could tighten up my shot group, right? What opportunities did I have that I can turn around and say to myself, you know, okay, man, when they said that, I completely fell off. I've got to notice when the client's energy is here, and I've got to match this energy here. I've got to notice that when the client starts, you know, this client was talking about their grandchild, and I could hear their voice light up I didn't take advantage of that by matching their energy and asking more probing questions to find out how important and how enlightened. I didn't do those things. I need to do better with those things. When you take care of all those little bitty things, right? All of a sudden, this thing just starts coming to you because when you practice it more and more and more and more, it becomes second nature. It becomes like tying your shoe. It becomes a knee-jerk reaction. Now you don't think about it. It just happens. Now you can just flow in and out of that conversation with that client, no matter what they say. Now you practice this, you know, we all get the ornery guy, right? But you listen to yourself enough times with them, and then you start learning how to deal with it. And then you notice a pattern that you start to make this transition where, oh man, those first 10, I just got nervous and I clammed up. But because you listen to that film, that tape, you now can go back and say, make this minor adjustments. Okay, next time I'm gonna do this. 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 And then 15, 20 times later, you get another butthole who wants to be a butt to you, but now you've worked on how to handle them. And now the way your tonality changes with that person, your level of firmness changes with that person, your level of connection changes with that person, and you learn to conquer that thing. Guys, these are the little things that I'm talking about that it takes to be great. When you start to do those little things, this is what champions do, right? And we come here today, guys, because you guys chose, you know, there's something else they said, right? When you start understanding what you do impact others, like when Dick started this as many years ago as he did, he had no idea he would impact this many people. Had no idea he would impact this many people because the amount of people that he's impacted is not on this screen, not even close, not even close, right? He's impacted so many more thousands of people over the last 30 years of his career. Robert, when he started this journey 7 years ago, had no idea he would be making the impact that he's making today in all of you all's lives. Guys, you have to understand, number one, I'm a part of something big. I'm a part of something powerful. I'm a part of something great. I'm a part of something that's impactful. And if you don't take pride in that, then shame on you. First of all, I know most of you do. So no shame on you, right? But I just want to kind of put that out there. Two, you got to understand, since I have this amazing opportunity, watch this, not just the opportunity, but the people I work with. You're working with people who pour into you. You're working to the likes of Dick and Connie, with Robert, Marsha, Carrie, Coach K, Mariana, Bridget, Erica, Tristan. The list goes on. You're working with these guys. You get to get this experience from the Shawns and the Marianas. That come in and just do that darn thing. You get to learn from these people. You get to work with these people. What you got to do is say, hey, I'm so grateful that I'm going to do my part. I'm going to put in the work because I don't want to be good. Watch this. For all of you who have kids, how many of you want your kids to be good at school? How many of you want them to be good in life? No, you all tell your kids that they're great. Then why wouldn't you lead by that same example? Why wouldn't you show them what greatness looks like? Why wouldn't you emulate that to give them something to see every day? And only thing that happens because you do that is you become great. And you start impacting others. And that's when your life takes on so much more purpose because you then realize you're impacting others all because you joined this team and you started working on yourself. You started understanding the value of doing the little things, those little things. And now that you're doing those little things, big, marvelous things take shape and form the universe that came out of something that people say that I don't know how many billions or trillions of years ago this speck was here in kaboom, but it all started with nothing. And here we are, and you guys are a part of it, and we're grateful to have you guys. I want you guys to start taking this thing seriously. I want you guys to ask yourself, once again, don't do this for me. Don't do it for Robert. Don't do it for Dave. I want you to do it for you. I want you to do it for your family. I want you to do it for your kids. I want you to look them in the eye and say, you deserve for mom to be great. You deserve for dad to be great. That's why you go and do this. Don't count yourself short, guys. I mean, every last one of you have greatness in you. Now, whether or not you reach it is a whole different story, but you can. You absolutely can. And the question is, will you? Will you do the little things? What's really beautiful about this, and I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Dick. What's really beautiful about this is the things that it takes to become massively successful here are easy to do. They're really easy to do. The problem with it, guys, is it's also easy not to do. So we tend to take that shortcut and just not do it. And then when the results don't come, we're sitting there looking, trying to figure out how come I haven't hit that goal. But I want you to remember that it is easy to do. It's easy to do that little thing. So start doing that little thing. Start doing that little thing every day. Start working on your mindset every day, doing a little bit every day. I don't care if it start off at 5 minutes a day. Do it every day. It doesn't seem like it's that's important, but I promise you it is. I promise you it is. So let's go make it great, guys. Before we close out, though, Mr. Dick, I know you got some words of wisdom to lay on the team. So you've got the floor, sir.
Well, one of the things, and you hear me preach it all the time, you know, learn to speak in bullet points. I'm going to give you five. One, this is one of the best videos we've ever seen. Two, good is the enemy of great. Now, Kobe didn't specifically say that, but Kobe understood that. He was good, but he didn't settle for that because he went on to learn how to be great. And this is one of the videos, if I were on this Zoom here and trying to get better, this is a video I would watch weekly just to remind you of that. And what Lee just said about the practice part, you know, doing it over and over, why is 250 to 300 dials every week important? Well, it's important because it's just like Kobe was doing. He would go and shoot his shot from the same place until he never missed. See, an amateur practices until they get it right. A professional practices until they never get it wrong. So that's one of the keys. What does 250 dials do? 250 dials a week to 300 dials a week, they give the agent more opportunities, more at-bats or more shots. What happens when you get more shots every week? You get better. And that's exactly what he did. And that's the reason recording what you do is so important. Why? Because you can go back and listen to it just like Kobe would go back and watch every single game. I'm not saying you need to listen to every single presentation that you've done, but the more you listen to, because when you finish that listening to you do a presentation, if you wouldn't buy from you, find out why and how to fix it. And that'll make all the difference in the world. Thank you much. Let's have a great week.